Our reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, and it can be found on page 1227 in the Pew Bibles. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him.
Thank you, Kathy. In the musical film Fiddler on the Roof, a 1970s film and a musical that was on as well about the same time, there is a scene that's sung when Tavia, one of the main characters, asks his wife Golda, "Do you love me?" I don't know if you know that song. It's one of my favourite bits in the film. Do you love? I won't do it. Do you love me? Fiddler on the Roof went on to win 3 Academy Awards, 2 Golden Globe Awards, and many hearts as well. One reason it was so popular was because, as well as having a strong motif of change, the musical was very much about that strong and often complex emotion, love. Love is nothing if it is not about relationship and communication. Whether it's a couple falling deeply in love, or the love of a mother to a child, a friend to a friend, a husband to a wife, we want to communicate our love and naturally have it communicated to us. Perhaps at some point you've made a phone call, you know, you've maybe rang home and just said to that special one, "I love you. I won't ask you to put your hands up. That one, embarrass yourselves." But many of us do things like that for no other reason than to say, "I love you," to share that emotion, that truth, that bond that is there within your heart and in your soul, perhaps. Or maybe you've written a love letter, or maybe a poem. I'm looking out for any people smiling here. For the object of your love. There are, of course, other ways to communicate your love towards another person. Anybody here ever left a little welcome note like "I love you" or something like that around as well? An easy to do thing, but you know, it can make a difference. Has anybody ever seen one of those being wrote for them to see? Yeah? It's a nice thing to receive, isn't it? If you have. And then, of course, well, maybe just chocolates. I'll say just chocolates. Maybe chocolates or flowers, particularly at Christmas time. You know that person coming home, and maybe on the way home from work perhaps they think, "Do you know what, I'm just going to buy some chocolates. I'm just going to bless the one that I love." Why? Because I love them. Yeah. And then of course there's the hug. Be careful about that one though, because it depends on who, when and where. But it's natural to act out your love in ways that are not quite as dramatic as well, you know, that are nevertheless appreciated. like, you know, you could even just make a person a cup of tea. Or maybe just even smile at someone can show a type of love. Now, the loves that I've mentioned just now are many and varied. There are three main loves in the Bible that God talks about, particularly in the New Testament. If you're a bit of a scholar of Greek, you've got the agape love, which is the God's love for his church and the love for one another within the body of the church. You've got filial love, which is like a brotherly love as well, and a friendship love. And then you've also got eros love, which is God's gift to us in marriage, where we can love each other with a desire, which is a good and healthy thing to do. But whatever kind of love it is, love is very, very much and was very, very much at the heart of the message that Kathy just gave us. I think most of that love would have been the agape type if you study the Greek. But actually the English translation as it stands is good enough. I think we all here know what love means. Yeah? The translators are pretty good as well. So I'm going to leave that there. In much the same way, going on to love now, God wants to communicate and show his love for us. For thousands of years, God has been talking to us and showing us his love towards us in different ways. Think about the creation of humanity. You know, God took special care in creating us in his image. That was an act of love and care and thought. When he called Israel to be his people, and when he rescued them from slavery in Egypt, God was showing his love to his people. And so we might know better how to live our lives. And for those people back then, he gave them the law of the prophets and spoke to his people through the prophets. Now in all of these things, God was expressing his love for his people over and over again. But it wasn't enough. You know? It wasn't enough. It wasn't breaking through the hard defensive shell of our sinful nature. It wasn't reaching all of God's creation. It hadn't broken through to the non-Jews at that time. It had not conquered sin and death. Years ago, when I was about 16 years old and lived on a council estate near Hull, I would have time on my hands during the day. And during one day, things got quite interesting. I heard a commotion in the living room, or TV room as it was known. Okay, I think that's true for most of us, isn't it? Now, we had two cats, and it was not unusual for anybody who owns cats knows that it's not unusual for cats to have a mad half hour or at least 10 minutes, yeah? Hands up anybody who owns a cat here. Yeah? They have mad half hours, don't they, or mad 10 minutes at least. It's just a cat thing, you know? If you have cats, you'll understand it. Well, maybe you won't, but you'll know about it. And I thought that it was that was going on. So I investigated. I just thought, what's going on here? Tabitha climbed up the curtains again, or whatever she did during that time. And no, it wasn't. And both of my cats were there, Tabitha and Smokey, our cats rather. And it happened that there was a mouse. How it got there, I don't really know, except it did look a little bit wet and a little bit scraggy. So it had probably been brought in by one of the cats, and cats have this tendency then to play around with things, don't they? And I think it had tried to escape and had got underneath the sofa. And anyway, the poor thing, you know, it was really horrified. It was petrified. So, you know, I thought the thing to do is to remove the cats and maybe I can help it out outside. So I got the cats outside. That was hard enough, but I managed to. They were kind of intent, you know what cats are like, and, you know, no, outside, Tabitha. Okay. And So I tried to catch the mouse with a box. Okay? I thought I was going to rescue the mouse. I thought I was going to do a good thing. But you know what? It is hard to catch a mouse. It really is. Those little critters, they can move, and they can move quickly. So I was going backwards and forwards and with a box, and I was thinking it was comical. If you would have seen it, it was like one of these comedies from the 1930s, you know, when they did slapstick and all that kind of thing. Anyway, eventually I just gave up, actually. I just couldn't do it. And the cats managed to come back in again. I think there was a window open. And, you know, yeah, it's, eventually, there was nothing I could do. Basically, the cats got back in. And before long, Tabitha made it known to me, in the ways that cats do, that she had dealt with the problem. And as she swaggered around, she also let me know that she was free to talk to me any time about my uncat-like behaviour. Now, looking back on this years later, I think the only way to convince this terrified mouse into getting into the box, it was hard. You know, there was me saying, come into the box, trying to be my most nice dean, and thinking, come on, come on. It just wasn't working. And thinking about this later, I think the only way I could have persuaded it to get in the box would be if I'd have become a mouse myself. Now, of course, that's impossible, isn't it? Yeah? It's impossible for me to become a mouse. But that might have worked. Maybe it would have been less intimidating to the mouse. Maybe I could communicate better with little squeaks. I don't know. Maybe. And maybe the mouse would understand that I wasn't trying to hurt it. I was trying to save it. Why am I telling you this now? Well, some of you have probably got it already. In some ways, God faced the same situation with us, with humanity, with people. Whether people realize it or not, we are a lot like my short-lived little mouse friend than many may realize. Because of the fall and humanity's rebellion against God's ways, today all people are naturally subject to sin and eternal separation from God. This is hard stuff, and all that that entails. God, in his wisdom, realized that the only way to get people to understand their danger and then respond in the right way was for him to become a human being himself. No small ask. Of course, that was only the start, though, of God's sacrificial actions that would provide a full cure for sin and death. We often focus on Jesus sacrificially dying for us on the cross to save us from our sins, to atone for the things that we have done wrong, to make us clean before God. There are different ways to look at how God atones for us. But essentially, God is doing the dirty work for us. God is allowing us to be reconciled to himself. Paying the price for sin is another way to look at it as well. And all these things are true. But right at the very, very beginning, God had to sacrifice something. Remember, this was the creator of the universe. And how does he do it? He comes in the form of a baby. Unpowerful from the most powerful, most holy, to one of the most smelly, probably unhygienic situations in the created world. So there we have God coming to us in the packet, in the body of a newborn baby. In verse 9, of chapter 4 of John's letter that we heard Kathy read for us, we read again. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, Jesus Christ is the full communication, make no mistake about this, of God's love to us. Yeah, the full communication. Jesus isn't just part of God, he is God. God in his mercy with all power and knowledge chose the humility of human existence and became powerless and dependent on the frailty of his own creation. Our images of the birth of Jesus are hopelessly coloured by years of Hallmark cards. You know the ones, don't you? The ones that we've probably still got up, you know? There's nothing wrong in them themselves, but, you know, it really does blind us to the reality of the situation. You know, Mary is always sweet, clean and serene. Joseph stands stoically by at all times, and Jesus, maybe we imagine, never cries. These are sentimental images that weaken the harsh reality of that night. Several years ago, on Christmas Eve, a church was getting ready for its annual evening service, which always included carols, instrumentals, dancing, and acting out of the Nativity. That sounds quite impressive, actually, doesn't it? Yeah. This particular year, as people started to arrive, they were greeted by the sight of some street people on the front steps, a man and a woman, there with a bundle of rags. Several people stopped to offer help, and some invited them in out of the cold. They politely declined all offers. Finally, one of the church members came to the pastor and said, we've got a problem. He wanted to call the police and have them removed, because they were blocking the way into the church. Eventually a patrol car came by and the people were asked to move across the street where they wouldn't disturb the worshippers. It was a beautiful service that night and the church was full, standing room only. Finally, the moment arrived, the dancers dressed in white appeared at the back of the church to lead Mary, Joseph and child down the centre aisle. As they entered, you could hear gasps of recognition. They were the homeless couple from the front steps. The baby Jesus was the bundle of rags that they had held in their arms. As the angels led them towards the front of the church, many people there that night wept. So touching was the scene they saw. Jesus entered this world as a homeless child, in total humility and poverty. And this morning, a little over 2,000 years later, right here and now, he waits to enter our hearts. Perhaps for the first time, perhaps more fully again. He waits patiently, with humility, great patience and great love, to be invited to come and live within us. In verse 10, it goes on to show just how Jesus' life and death would go on and make things right. It reads, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And it goes on. The well-known John 3:16 echoes this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, shall not perish, but have eternal life." God sent Jesus so that we can be born again. It cost him his life to show us the way to atone for all the wrong we do, to enable us to receive his Holy Spirit that can make a difference both now and in the future to how we live our lives and to become children of God, saved by grace and empowered for action. Listen now to verses 13 and 16, our final verses this morning. "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." And as this love grows within our hearts, as it should, we find ourselves sharing it with others. We become the ones with beautiful feet, preaching the good news of God's salvation from the mountaintops. Perhaps the prophecy was about Jesus, where those words I got from in my thinking. But they can be described for us as well. When we begin to recognise and honour God's presence in the humble and poor and reach out with a love beyond our own. That is our calling. That is our calling. I remember years ago when I first became a Christian, going into a bookshop and I was trying to find a Bible. And I looked to the back of the store and I saw a few Bibles there. I finally found them after looking round the store for 20, 30 minutes. Eventually, I found the Bibles. And I remember thinking, I found something special, something hidden, something I didn't know much about. I'd had an inkling about it. I'd sung some carols. I'd maybe watched a film on telly, but I didn't really know what God wanted to do in my life. And that's the same for millions of people around the world. And we can lose sight of that in this cozy church that we're so familiar with. When we come to church day in, day out, we can lose that truth of the situation. It's a beautiful thing when God comes down and touches people's lives. And he wants to do that today with us. And with those out there. And if we let him, if we get excited again in our lives, he will use us in doing that. And he will bless us and them as we do that. Hallelujah. You know, we sing a lot at Christmas, and for good reason. About 10 years ago, there was a song in the charts. And you know, I like religion. I don't know about you, but I like religion that's real. Do you? Absolutely. That's what it's about. It really is. Authenticity. Being what we say. Trying to be what we say, at least. Yeah? Being honest. And there's a song in the charts by Leonard Cohen called Hallelujah. Do some of us remember that? Yeah? It's quite an amazing song, actually. And I was quite amazed when it became quite high in the charts. And I think it was on, I don't know, Britain's Got Talent and so on, and people were singing it all over the place. You know, emotion concerning the real ups and downs in the life of a person of faith. In this case, it was about King David of old. A broken hallelujah, but yet he sang it. Around 2,000 years ago, it is as if Jesus came to sing a love song to the whole of humanity, and it started with a baby in a manger. For us today, God calls us still to receive again the good news of Jesus Christ. And let our hearts cry out a real hallelujah. For God, Emmanuel, God is with us. And we come to the end of the year, decade even. It's good to look back and reflect. Reflect on the things that we've done and the things perhaps that we haven't done. You know, if you're a Christian here today, it's good to reflect. It's good to reflect on the things that you've done well and the things that you'd like to do better. Nothing wrong in that. It's a healthy thing to do. We also need to remember, as we're doing these things, everything in the light of God's love, which came down at Christmas time. This love, this enabling love, this self-giving love, this example of love. And then we need to live in the light of God's love, moment by moment, in the days ahead. We need to keep reminding ourselves of that. Yeah, we really do. Get up some them days and we can easily forget. Even if we pray in the morning, you know, we're good. And we pray. Halfway through the morning, maybe we get annoyed with somebody on the road. Maybe someone cuts us up. Or maybe some other situation arises. And we quickly forget. God calls us to live by his Spirit. So maybe this year, maybe we need to realise that more and more, that God's Spirit is always there, enabling us to make the right decisions, to be Christ, to be as if we are Jesus' hands and his mouth, to live out our lives as a real witness of the real true love that came down. So that's a bit of a Christmas message for us, but it's a message for the new year and into the new year as well. Praise God for who he is and what he enables. There was a song, a Christian poem, that was made into a song. And Love Came Down at Christmas was actually originally a song. I'll just skip through. Christina Rossetti, quite a few years ago now, she did a whole collection of poems, and this is one of the famous ones that was made into a Christmas carol come hymn. And we're going to sing this now. And this speaks of everything we've been thinking about this morning. Love Came Down at Christmas.